I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you play the Virginia Lottery's new Millionaire for Life game, you have the chance to win $1 million every year for life. Play today.
Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. 888-532-3500.
The Virginia Lottery.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm Dining Set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. Midday show live today from Ron Jaworski's golf outing at Riverwinds in Deptford. Excited to be there. We've been there. This is our fourth year in a row doing this golf outing. So excited to be at this one and hopefully have a really fun show from Jaws' golf tournament today. A lot to talk about. Scott Pransky on the show at noon. So check it out. YouTube and, of course, podcast feed, Odyssey app, live on your radio, any way you like to listen. We appreciate that. And the Phillies tonight in Milwaukee against the Miz Mizorowski. It's going to be a great weekend of some pitching. Mizorowski tonight. Sunday, it is Sanchez and Kyle Harrison. So a lot of fun for the Phillies. And they acquire an outfielder yesterday. We'll talk about the midday show. And I will write about on the newsletter this morning. But I want to kind of, now that the spring is fully over for the Eagles, everyone's gone home. Although do the golf outing today and the Milata concert last night, and now it's the downtime for the players. The players get to have about 6 weeks themselves before they show back up here for training camp. And, you know, it's been an interesting spring for the Eagles. Obviously, the AJ trade finalized. Mekhi Lemon and Eli Sowers as the top two draft picks. Trading for Jonathan Greenard. Adding Reek Woolen. Remaking the team in a lot of different ways, you know, saying goodbye to N'Kobe and Reed Blankenship, guys, to get them a lot of really good snaps. It's going to be a year of transition for the Eagles, a year where I think the bigger picture is more important than the day-to-day. But for me, by far, this spring, the biggest occurrence, the biggest, I would say, development this spring has been the development of Sean Mannion as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, he was hired in the winter, so it's not like he just arrived here. But what I noticed and what I observed this spring with the Eagles, whether it be OTAs, whether it be the mandatory minicamp, or it just be the way the players and coaches talk about him, is there is a sense I get, and we're going to have to see it on the field, but a sense I get that he's got it, that there's something about Sean Mannion that is resonating with everyone. And it's the biggest thing that has happened here this spring. It's bigger, if it is accurate, if my read on this is accurate, if the players and the other coaches read on this is accurate, if their sense of this is true, it's a bigger deal than anything that's gone down, because this could be the next Eagles offense for a long time. And this guy could carve out a very long tenure with the Philadelphia Eagles and a very quick trajectory up the chain of command here. And yes, I mean, he could be the future head coach of the team. That's what it, if Sean Mannion is the real deal, it changes the Eagles in a lot of ways. It changes, it makes them a better football team this year. It gives them a better opportunity to have a high-selling offense in 2 years. And it also gives them the ability to remake the roster, the offense, the money, all while he's in place. It also gives them a safety net against Nick Sirianni's voice and message fading out. It gives them an ability to have him in the fold to learn. And it's almost like drafting a quarterback, a developmental quarterback, you know, somewhere in the draft. You can make the comparison to maybe, you know, drafting a Jalen Hurts when you have a Carson Wentz. You know, you have a quarterback, but you draft this other one and maybe he becomes the better version of the position. And that's exactly what happened with Hurts to Wentz. And I'm not saying that Sirianni is going to be fired at the end of the season, but I am saying that Sean Mannion's rise is just a noticeable, excellent thing for the organization and puts the organization in a better place. And what struck me is a couple of the offensive linemen that spoke about Sean Mannion, because, you know, we could talk about Jalen Hurts and his play, his performance, how he's going to perform in this offense. And we'll do that to all blue in the face through the summer into the training camp, into October, all that. But what really strikes me in this offseason, and specifically the last couple of weeks, has been how the offensive linemen have talked about him. The two that spoke at the podium and speak, you know, more often are Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. Veterans, been around a long time, clearly strong proponents of Jeff Stoutland University, and the way the Eagles taught their blocking schemes for years and years and years, and went over regime after regime after regime of head coaches, that this offensive line coach in Stoutland was the constant. And when the Eagles moved off him, it was, I think, for multiple reasons. The first and the impetus was embarrassing, that it was a look back to last year, to the dysfunction within the building, to Nick Sirianni's inability to manage his own staff, the Petullo thing, Petullo and Sirianni trying to fix the offense, taking away responsibility from Stoutland. It was a problem. Now, ultimately, it might be a good pivot point for the Eagles to pivot to this new offense and to give the autonomy to Sean Mannion to pick his own offensive coordinator. But, you know, there could have easily been bitterness there. There could have been bitterness. Like, what the heck, man? We had all this success for all these years with this guy, and now, okay, we had a new coordinator, but why should that coordinator come in here and be able to dictate that this isn't a place for Stoutland anymore, that he's got to have his own guy, blah, 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 blah. And to the credit of Lane and Mailata, they've handled this like pros. Now, I'm sure deep down, especially in February, they were upset, annoyed, pissed, whatever. But they've handled it like pros. They're going to do a great job. They're going to block well. That I'm sure of. But what really hit me the most was the way they talked this week or the last couple of weeks about Sean Mannion. I mean, yeah, Mailata called him an evil genius. And you heard Lane Johnson say he's always wanted to play in an offense like this. Like, he's kind of been jealous watching the Shanahan offense, the McVay offense from afar. And now he gets a chance to be part of this thing. I thought that was really, really eye-opening that was said by those two guys, the guys that have been here the longest with Jeff Stoutland. So clearly Mannion's made an impression on them. You hear Jalen Hurts talk about Sean Mannion, And he talks about his attention to detail. He talks about how smart he is, how he could teach this offense. They've connected. Son of a coach, son of a coach. Nick Sirianni, probably shouldn't do this, but raving about how he beats him into the building. And he's still here when he leaves. Like, Sean Mannion is throwing himself into this thing. And it feels like he's got a plan and he understands how to teach.
The Virginia Lottery has a new draw game. Play Millionaire for Life online or in-store for the chance to win $1 million every year for life. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. 888-532-3500.
The Virginia Lottery.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm Dining Set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And when I heard Sean Mannion speak at OTAs for the first time, the guy I was reminded of and the person I thought of instantaneously was Doug Peterson. He reminds me of Doug Peterson. And it's that former quarterback, that former backup quarterback turned offensive guy, turned play caller. And there's something about that archetype that works. It's the backup catcher of football. It is the guy that is there for one reason and one reason and only. It is his brain. It is the fact that he used to be able to do this at a pretty high level, right? Like, backup catchers are major league players and backup quarterbacks are NFL players. And they all probably had very, very big success at younger amateur levels, whether it be college or high school, where they were dominant. Sean Mannion was the starting quarterback at Oregon State. Doesn't matter if they were in a Rose Bowl or not. He was the starting quarterback at Oregon State. He could play a little bit. And then he got to the NFL. And, you know, you go back in the day, I think it was McVay's first training camp as the head coach of the Rams. And you go back and you read some of those stories. The training camp battle was between Jared Goff, the number one quarterback in the draft from the year before, obviously had a horrendous rookie season in 2016 with Jeff Fisher as a head coach. They knock him out of there and they put in McVay to save the day. And the quarterback battle was between Jared Goff and Sean Mannion. So, you know, it kind of brings you back to what he was as a player. He wasn't a complete stiff. And then you kind of mold into his personality and how he teaches, and it creates this. The biggest source, if I have two huge sources of optimism for the Eagles season and why there is a clear path the 10 or 11 wins and another berth in the playoffs. The optimism, and it's born from two things. Number one is Vic Fangio, the strength of the defense, year number three in this system. And that, you know, that means Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. It means, you know, guys like Zach Bond now. It means guys like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. They've been in this for a while now. And this isn't brand new. Mauro Gelmo, like, they've been in this system. They understand intrinsically where to go, what to do, how to be, and the guy next to them. It's a big development that it's year three of this system. I think Vic could add some layers to this that he probably was holding back a little bit the last couple of years, because they've had, you know, they had some change, and then, you know, they won the Super Bowl in the first year. Second year, there was a lot of change, right? They lost a lot of players. This year, now there's some change, right? They're going to go with a different outside corner with Rick Wollin instead of Adoree Jackson. They're going to have a different safety instead of Reed Blankenship. It's going to be Marcus Epps, though Epps has been here. They're going to have a different inside linebacker with Jahad Campbell rather than Kobe, but Jahad was here last year. There's a lot of continuity on this thing. Now, Grenard is brand new. Woolen's brand new. Other than that, there's not much brand new on this defense. So they should be able to layer this thing, add some things in, and away we go. So that's my first source of real optimism. My second source of real optimism is Mannion. I think he may be the kind of coordinator that could just elevate. He may be the kind of offensive mind that just has a feel for this and a smarts for this and may be able to get just a little bit more out of everybody. And as the Eagles' talent base on the offensive side goes down a little bit, it's clearly not quite the same when you lose an A.J. Brown, especially if you're one that still thinks there's a lot left in A.J.'s tank. I don't think there is, but still, there's still talent left. It's not the tank isn't empty. I just think it's closer to empty than some people do. But you lose an A.J. Brown. You have extra age on the offensive line now. They may not be as talented, as spry, as strong, as quick, as dominant as they used to be. So you're going to have all these factors, and they're not going to be as, quote-unquote, a talented offense as they used to be. Saquon, you know, probably a diminished player from his peak. That's just natural at the running back position. I think Jalen is a diminished player from his peak. Natural for a mobile quarterback to have all this happen. So, but I, you know, in general, you say all those things about the offense. Well, they're not as talented wide receiver. Deeper, sure. Better overall, sure. But as talented? Probably not. Offensive line probably won't be as good as it used to be. Running back, not as good as it used to be. Quarterback, not as good as it used to be. You say all that. Tight end, not as good as it used to be. You say all that, and you think, well, the offense is going to continue on a downturn, right? If they followed 23rd last year, it's probably not going to uptick much because they're getting worse. Very fair, legitimate statement to make. Unless Mannion can elevate. And can Mannion elevate an offense that has a talent group that is more name than an actual substance at this point? And can he elevate them from 23rd last year to 15th this year? Can he elevate them from 23rd to 13th? I think those things are in the cards. And if he does that, coupled with a defense that should be between a top three and a top seven unit in the NFL, defense always kind of fluctuates year to year. It's hard to pin down the best defenses and say they're going to stay the best defense, especially when you go against a hard schedule or whatever. But I'd be surprised if the Eagles aren't a top 10 defense. Now, are they going to be quite as dominant as Houston or Seattle? We'll see. They could be right close to all that. You know, they could be in that same conversation as those teams with Vic Fangio. And you kind of piece that together. Let's say they're a top five defense and they're a top 15 offense. It's probably good enough to make playoffs. It's probably good enough to get to 10 or 11 wins again and compete. Now, if they are top five-ish defense and still in the 20s of offense, they can miss the playoffs. And that math has a map. And that math, math's around 9-8, which is really what they were last year. If you kind of think about the way they play, they looked like a 9-8 team. They got to 11. And they made the playoffs, but they looked and felt and just profiled as that kind of team. So, but the source of optimism is the defense could sustain, which is hard in the modern NFL, and that the offense could uptick, not because of immense talent acquisition, but because of the mind of Sean Mannion, the teaching of Sean Mannion, how he set it off with these players. I can't wait to be at Eagles training camp practices and to see what Mannion has this thing looking like and how he layers this thing and where they're at in September versus where they're at in November. This feels like the beginning of something. It feels like the players see it. It feels like the organization, whether or not they stumbled into it, it doesn't matter. We don't take points off. We don't add points of when you hire your coordinator. Did the Eagles really want Nick Sirianni? I don't know. I mean, they got him, right? They hired him. He was the last coach to be hired that cycle. But it worked, and it's worked well. Did the Eagles want Mike McDaniel? I think they did. Did the Eagles want Brian Daboll? I think they did. Did the Eagles want Declan Doyle? I think they did. They really want Sean Mannion? I don't think he was their first choice. But if he's good, it's the only thing that matters. And my sense is he's going to be good at this. And the Eagles are going to find themselves a big-time offensive mind. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. YouTube for the interviews today, live on your Odyssey app. You could rewind as well. We'll be at Riverwinds for Jaws' golf outing. Have a great weekend. And let's go, Phil. So hopefully some wins this weekend in a big series, potential playoff preview against the Milwaukee Brewers. Thanks for listening to WIP Daily.
The Virginia Lottery has a new draw game. Play Millionaire for Life online or in-store for the chance to win $1 million every year for life. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. 888-532-3500.
The Virginia Lottery.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.